Hi friends, I'm Steph.
And I'm T.
And you are listening to Au Pair Tea, The Afterlife.
A 10-part mini-series where we document our journeys from preparing to leave the USA to finding our feet back home.
It's going to be something very special, so make sure you are following us at Au Pair Tea on Instagram to keep up to date. Hello everyone, welcome back to Au Pair Tea, the podcast.
Hello!
Oh my god. It has been a hot damn minute.
We've got some explaining to do, Steph.
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. We did just, before we started recording this episode, I did make a little post on the Instagram, just basically explaining ourselves. So basically, it just, we have no other excuse apart from that adult life is hard and busy and overwhelming. It's very overwhelming going from the comfort of your au pair life to adjusting back into your old life and but still new life and starting a job and everything like that, and figuring out your place back home. It's very overwhelming. So we've just been trying to focus on settling back in.
Yeah, a lot's happened. But we did say, like, Steph and I have met up a couple of times in the UK since, and every time we're like, we said we were doing 10 episodes, we owe 10 episodes. So this is us doing the second half. So if you are here and you are listening and you've been around before, welcome back. It's lovely to have you.
I love you. All right. So one thing you'll probably notice already is our accents have probably changed a little bit.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. So like people have mentioned this already. Like we both sound English again. The American twangs have gone. Sometimes people still mention that I sound a little bit of have American twang when I say some words. But definitely lost that twang, but I do still use American vocab.
I do too, and I get absolutely rained on at work.
Yeah,
for doing
me
it.
Too. Yeah, but T sounds very northern again.
It's because right, back. I've gone. I know, like I'm not even from the north originally. Like as a side note, I've only lived in the north since I was 10, but I work with northerners, and so I'm like, oh mate, you all right, mate? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so if I sound northern, I apologize. Even sometimes the other day, my boyfriend said, "I don't even know what you're saying," and I'm like, right, okay. So I need to maybe, I'll try and tone it down a little bit so you can understand me. But this is us. This is episode 6. And today we're going to be talking about our last week in the US, flying back to the UK, how we're adjusting to normal life, catch you up on how we're doing, what our plans are. And we are so excited to be back, aren't we, Steph?
Oh, we're actually buzzing.
We really are. We listened to some of our old episodes, didn't we? And we were like, oh my gosh, we miss doing this. And people have, a couple of people have been like, yo, like, where are you? And we're like, we're here.
I think we needed to take a little bit of a break though, because I think we were so overwhelmed and stuff. I think it was just like, we wouldn't have been able to put the same passion into the episodes.
Yeah,
we will now that we've come back. We really missed it. We've talked about it all the time.
We do.
We just had to find the right time, and now we're back.
I know. Let's just jump right in, like we used
Let's
to.
Let's go.
Steph. Let's go.
So, as you guys know, I left a little bit before T, and we kind of had to pretend that there was a bigger gap between our departures than there was, because T's dad does listen to our podcast and she was going to surprise him when she went back. So
spoilers.
We were like, oh yeah, she's got like 3 months left. In reality, it was only like a month.
Yeah. So what date did you leave, Steph?
I left, something of July.
Yeah.
20th of July, I think it was.
Something like that. I left September 5th.
Yeah, the day after me. Okay.
Or September 4th. I think it was September 4th. And I arrived in the UK. Yeah, and I arrived in the UK on the 5th.
Yeah, so it was a good couple of months, a good month and a bit. But basically, my last week was pretty normal. Basically, my host parents didn't want to, like, because my boys were quite young, they were 3 and 1. She didn't want to, like, get them upset and make a big deal about the fact that I was leaving and that there was a big change happening. Because my eldest one didn't deal with change too well at that time. So we didn't want to make it a big deal. So we just wanted to kind of act as normal as possible. But obviously we still had a job to do. So I still worked as normal my last week, as I think most au pairs do.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time packing, decluttering, thinking about how the heck I was going to fit everything into suitcases, which we talked about on the last episode that we did. It was stressful. It was stressful. Packing. Oh my god. I don't miss having to figure that out.
No. Any au pairs that are getting ready to leave, you have our full sympathy.
Yeah, you do. And go and listen to our packing episode because we do give a bit of advice.
Should listen to our own advice.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, like I said, pretty normal. All of my friends had already gone back to their home country. I was the last one to leave the US. So I'd already said goodbye to all of them and parted ways with them. So it was just, you know, spending time with my host family, working, packing, just very average. I think my experience leaving was a bit different than the average mm-hmm. au pair, because we didn't want to make a big deal of it and everything. My last day, I worked in the morning as normal. And then my oldest went to nursery and the grandparents took the baby, my little Owen. Mm. And I said goodbye to them, but I tried not to make a big deal of it. And my host parents went to work as normal because they couldn't get time off work and everything, and I went to the airport and left, and then my host kids kind of came back and they I wasn't there, which is kind of sad to think about. But you know, I don't think, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I think is the whole thing. They didn't get as upset as maybe if I'd made a big deal out of leaving. But the night before, we had a nice dinner together and they gave me a little cake that said like good luck on your new adventures. And had some time together, so it was nice. It was nice, but I think a bit different than like a lot of other au pairs whose families,
yeah,
because, you know, maybe when kids are older they understand a bit more, or if they're younger, you know. But my eldest host kid didn't like change, so we didn't want to distress him.
Yeah, I can't, like, I'm genuinely in two minds about this, and I'm not here to bash your host parents or anything, or bash you or anything like that, but for me, that's really sad for you, because it's obviously, like, the kids are the most important part of this relationship, because obviously it's, you know, that's why you're there to look after them. But no matter how young, kids like to say goodbye. And I think genuinely, if I'd had that experience, that would have broken my heart if I couldn't say goodbye to my kids. And I do appreciate where your host parents are coming from, especially if the kids don't like change, but change is a part of life. And with the greatest respect to your host parents, I think you deserve the chance to say goodbye the way that you wanted to. But so I am sorry that was your experience, but you know, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult depending on the relationship you have with your host family.
Yeah. I mean, my 1 year old Owen, he didn't really understand if I talked to him about it or not. Henry, he understood, and I did talk to him a bit about it. And I said goodbye to him and I was like, you know, you can FaceTime me whenever you want to, etc., etc. He understood in his own little way that I was leaving, but I just didn't want to make a big deal out of it. So I held the tears off until they were out of the room.
Oh my gosh, I would have been on the floor crying. But at least you spoke to him about it a little bit before. It wasn't just like, okay, have a good day at school, and then Steph isn't there. That would have been like, wait, what? Either way, that's a change. So
exactly, yeah. So I did, like, say to him, like, Steph's not going to be here when you get back from nursery, but I'm going to be back in England. You know, I'll always be here to talk to you if you want to on the phone and stuff like that. So he was fine. And the new au pair started, like, literally 2 days after. So it was kind of like he didn't really have time to think about the fact that I wasn't there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he had, like, a new shiny toy to play with.
exactly. So it was really sad, obviously, because, like, when you... I've been with Owen, for example, since he was a teeny tiny baby. So it was really difficult to leave them. I do miss them so much, but it was kind of, I guess I didn't get as upset either, because it kind of was just normal, if you know what I mean. So I just was too
maybe
busy.
I'm just an emotional person, I think.
So I, you know, I was sad, but I didn't really cry as much as I thought I was going to, I think, because there wasn't so much pressure put on it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I guess it was kind of a benefit in a way. But you had a very lovely last week. So why don't you go through yours?
This is me trying not to cry. So obviously I had my whole packing disaster, which we talked about in the last episode. We're not going through there again, because I swear I've got PTSD from packing. My, like, obviously, again, I was still working in my last week, like most au pairs do. Like, it's, imagine if you just have like a week off and it's like, oh, bye bye, that's weird. So yeah, I was working as normal, you know, going to take the kids to school, you know, going to things like that. And so my last week while the kids were in school, it was me kind of making sure I was texting people and making sure I was sick. I had a lot of little appointments to go and say goodbye to everybody and, you know, catching up with people, which was nice. On my I flew out on the Sunday, I think. Don't remember. Yeah, I flew out on the Sunday. On the Saturday, do you know what? It may have even been Sunday morning. I genuinely can't remember. It was Saturday or Sunday morning. No, it was Saturday. I went to Orange Theory and they threw like a little party for my last day, mm-hmm. which was really lovely. And like they gave me some gifts and I got them to sign my towel. And it was so lovely. I mean, anyone that kind of has been on this journey knows how much Orange Theory means to me. I literally went out this morning to work out and I wore an Orange Theory thing. So yeah, I had a lovely little Orange Theory goodbye party. We had mimosas in the parking lot and one of my coaches made me this canvas and it had like a Union Jack on it, but on top of the Union Jack was like the Orange Theory logo and stuff. So that was lovely to have that moment. And then what else did we do? I'd had my leaving party a few weeks before, like in the middle of August, because Hayley's birthday was at the end of August, so we didn't want to cross over with that. So I had my leaving party a few weeks before, but obviously I couldn't say anything because I was surprising my dad. So, but the leaving party was really, really, really lovely. Like we had like a cake and everything, and like it was like our vacation picture as a family was printed on the cake, and Maddie was like, "I want to eat my face," so we had to make sure she got the piece with her face on it. And yes, like my au pair friends were there, my neighbors were there, my Orange Theory family were there. It was kind of weird because it was kind of like my little worlds coming together. And there was a book that I've actually got that they all signed. We had Polaroid pictures. It was just lovely to have. My host parents were just bloody incredible as usual. So I had that. And then my last night, well, no, we had Hayley's birthday. Hayley's birthday was a couple of days before I left. So we had like a giant water slide as we do when we hung out. And it was really nice because it was kind of like normality for us. Like, so we like to throw our little parties in the summer. So that was really nice because it was like a last kind of big thing for us to do. And it was just a lovely day. And then my last night, I'm going to try not to cry. We went to Cowfish, which is like our favorite restaurant. And I got my favorite cocktail there. And then they gave me some gifts and it was just like so special. So they'd gone shopping with my host kids and each kid had picked out a charm to go on my Pandora bracelet and they'd all chosen their own initials. So I've just got like, I've got like two H's and an M on my Pandora bracelet, which is just super, super special. And it was just lovely to be together. So we went to Cowfish because it's like our restaurant. And then we went home and we all just like got on the couch and we started watching The Holiday and we loved that movie together. So we all watched it and I had Hayley like cuddled under me. I had Hank like on my leg and Maddie was with her parents on the other couch. And it was just so lovely to be together. And I was trying not to cry the whole night. And then I cried. I decided to give them their gifts on the evening. So I had a few little gifts for them. My kind of favorite gift for them was that I'd written like loads of different memories. Like Maddie lost her first tooth or Hank started walking. And I put like dates and things, or I put jokes and I put remember this and I put them all in a jar. And I said, just pick one every now and then, just pick one out. So, you know, it's a gift that lasts. And the other thing I got them was, I went to Build-A-Bear and I made a bear for my host kids and I put my voice in it.
Aww.
Oh God, it was so sad. I even made a video for it and everything. I never showed them the video of me making it, but yeah, so I made the bear, I called it Gunnison. And yes, yeah, so Hayley is obsessed with that bear. I think it's still in her bed. But yeah, it's a little message from me. And it's like, you know, like, I love you, I miss you, hug me, all that. So we had that. Went to bed, obviously, crying. Stressed about packing. And then the actual day of my flight, me, my host family, and our neighbours, our favourite neighbours, we all went to the country club for brunch and, like, a farewell thing. And I just feel like it was just, like, endless goodbyes. So.
Yeah.
But it was really lovely. And then obviously I had my airport drama of, you know, unpacking in the middle of the airport with my host family on one side, my friends on the other. So when I eventually did leave, it was very difficult. Like, just, I don't know, just that letting go. You know, when you're hugging someone and you just want that extra second.
Yeah.
Me and Julia had a moment. She would not let go for a second. And I was like, oh, Jay, like, it was very difficult. And then, yeah, but I don't know how to describe it. It was just, I kept saying to myself, I will see you soon. It's not goodbye, it's see you later, that kind of general thing. But yeah, so unfortunately you didn't have what I would have wanted for you. but I did probably have the most amazing goodbye ever.
Aww.
And I love them so much. Oh, I can't wait. I'm seeing them next month and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to go back. But yeah, so that was us leaving.
I forgot to say, I did make my boys a photo book of all our like photos together and photos I'd taken during our year together just so they would forget me, never forget me.
Oh yeah, that was the other gift. Yeah, I wrote everyone a letter separately and gave them pictures separately. Oh my, what do you even say in these things though? And like pictures and stuff, I think au pairs are always like, oh, I don't want to give them another photo book, blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, bro, these are the moments that have just defined your whole thing. So the fact that you did that for your kids is so cute.
Yeah, and my host mum sent me a video like a couple months ago of Henry reading the book and he was like, it's Steph, I miss Steph. Oh, so cute.
It's horrible but so wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's literally the definition of heartbreak.
I know, I was like, oh, I miss you too.
Oh my goodness. So the actual flight home, Steph.
Yes.
Neither of us had direct flights, so why don't you jump in with your flight home and your flight pattern?
Yeah, so my flight was from JFK to Frankfurt in Germany, and then from Frankfurt to London Heathrow. And then I had a 2-hour drive to my hometown in the south of England. So it was a long, long, long journey. My flight was like an afternoon overnight flight from JFK to Frankfurt. So I did try and sleep a majority of it, but it was not comfortable at all. I think T can vouch for this.
Oh my god,
being in economy on a like 10-hour flight is not fun at all. It was really comfortable, and I was sat next to a random old man who was sleeping and snoring, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And then there was a baby like diagonal to me that kept crying as well, so it wasn't the most comfortable flight ever, but I did get a few hours sleep and, you know, watched, I think I watched Jurassic World, but I'm not too sure. I cannot remember what I watched, but I watched some of the TV thing, listened to some podcasts, listened to some music, just tried to get the time going. We had lovely food, actually. It was actually pretty nice for airplane food.
It is, isn't it? The meals we had on Lufthansa was actually all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from the marble cake thing, that was disgusting.
Yeah, that was gross. But the pasta dish, I had like a pasta, it was like a tomato pasta.
Yeah, chef's kiss.
That was pretty good. So it was actually all right. And there was free drinks the whole time. So it was like really, really good. And then from Frankfurt to Heathrow, I slept on that flight. I had like a whole row to myself. So it was great.
Nice.
And it was a really short flight, like an hour and a bit. And I slept for that flight, got to Heathrow. And then I was just like, holy crap, I'm back in England.
It's weird, isn't it?
I went straight into a W.H. Smith. So I was like, yes, this is great.
This is England.
Got some prawn cocktail crisps. I just like got some Galaxy. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm having a great time. And then I basically got an airport like transfer car from the airport to my home because my mum didn't want to drive near London, which is fair because
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah,
there's, which is insane. You can
pay, it wasn't that expensive, to be fair. It was like £100, just got me from London Heathrow to literally my door. So it was good. And then me and my mum had a massive hug. It was so lovely.
It's weird seeing your parents again, isn't it? It's weird seeing people again after like 2 years and you're like, wait, hello, you're physically here.
Yeah, it was so weird to be in my little home again. I was like, this is tiny.
Yeah, everything's so small.
And it was just so weird. It just felt, I can't even explain it. Like, it just felt so weird because everything was the same, but it'd been so long. And I was like, this is weird. This is so weird. But in regards to the flight, like, I would recommend, if you can, at the airport, paying a little bit to upgrade your seat if they have, you know, the space and the seats available. Like, it would have been $100 for me to upgrade to, I think it was first class, like, not first class, economy premium, which would have just given me a bit more room.
Yeah, especially on, like, the overnight flights. You need that leg room.
It's really, I would really recommend it if you ask the airport when you get there if they have anything.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do it beforehand. Like, I don't fly out till the 21st of May, so I think I'm gonna maybe move my seat or change my legroom for the flight back, because it's a direct flight from London to Raleigh, which is amazing, but it's like 7 hours 40 and 8 hours 40. I'm like, I'm gonna be dying unless I do it.
So I would recommend doing that. I was also really worried about my layover between my flights in Frankfurt to the one from Frankfurt to London, because the Frankfurt airport is huge.
Like, it's massive,
so
guys.
Big, and when you look at it on the map, it's insane. And I only had like 45 minutes to like get from one gate on one end of the airport to the gate on the other end of the airport. And I was looking at it on the map and I was like, there's no way I'm gonna make this. I had to go through security again. I had to get a tramp. Looking on the map, I was like, there's no way I'm making this. So I was freaking out the night before. I don't know if you remember too. I was like freaking out. Like, I'm not gonna make this flight. My luggage is gonna go to London. I'm gonna be stuck in Germany.
What am I gonna do?
So I was so anxious, but it was actually fine. My flight got there a bit early and the other one was delayed, so I had plenty of time. But actually the like walk over there was fine, and security was like empty, so like it really didn't take me long at all. But
I know, but we just like to have a panic,
freaking
don't we?
Out I was freaking out beforehand, but it was all fine. Overall it was pretty okay. You know, there was nothing that really went particularly wrong. It was very smooth. Yeah, and I got home and it was just very, very weird. But it's,
I don't think there's a word for that feeling.
There isn't. It's just weird. Just weird.
Weird.
So weird.
Yeah.
What about your flight, T? How did yours go?
Oh, mama. Right. So, like you, I had multiple flights.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So mine was from Raleigh to Washington Dulles Airport. What the hell? To bloody Frankfurt to Manchester. So the first flight was okay. It was pretty short, and then it was just a lot of waiting around. I think we were delayed getting on our flight to Frankfurt, which was a pain in the ass, because I was just there and I was like, oh my god, move. And I was the last boarding group as well, so I was just like, oh my god. But then the big flight over to Frankfurt was just so ridiculously uncomfortable. I was like in the second row of my section. There was a kid sat in front of me who did not understand you can't just put your seat all the way back. Like, when even when we were eating, the stewards had to push his chair back, because we were like, bro, you're gonna choke on it. And obviously I literally can't eat like this. So we kept doing that, which was really, really annoying. There was a guy on the other side of the aisle to me who just kept staring at me, and I'm just like, can I help you, sir? My earphones that the airport gave me weren't working properly, so I was like, okay. But it was all right. Like, I read a bit of my book, I slept in and out, I kind of napped here and there. I watched The First Wives Club because it was a great classic movie. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. The pasta was all right, but yeah, I just remember the worst part of the journey was the final flight, because we got to Frankfurt, and obviously I was about to catch my flight to Manchester. They changed the gate. We went to the gate they changed it to, they changed it again, and it wasn't updated on the system. So there was a bunch of us going, where the hell is our flight? And like the gate was closing, and we were like, yes, but where is the gate? Blah, blah, blah. We were all panicking. And then what saved me is I heard people with Manchester accents, and I was like, thank the Lord. So I followed them, and I was like, is there any chance you are going to Manchester? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, right, I'm following you. So thank you, whoever you were. They were like, they were a family with a teenage boy. I was like, so whoever you are, chef's kiss to you, because they saved me. But yeah, like, that's the only thing that caused me a lot of stress, is finding out that the gate had changed 2 or 3 times, but they hadn't updated the system. But apparently I think 4 or 5 people actually missed our flight, because there was someone meant to be next to me and they didn't turn up. And I was like, that's the only thing I didn't like, was the stress. But then obviously I flew home, and I'd been filming along the way, because I was putting together just like a little video montage. And you know, if you live in England, when you fly back to England, you know you're in England when you fly over the countryside, and it's just like a patchwork.
Yeah, yeah.
And that feeling, Steph, I can't even, the joy I felt in my heart. Obviously, I was really sad about leaving the States, but I was like, it was that, like, I'm home moment, and I don't know how to describe it. Then I got off the flight. It didn't take me that long to get my luggage. However, if you've ever been in Manchester Airport in the luggage place, it is a freaking nightmare. There are people just literally people climbing over your luggage, over your luggage cart. It was insane. It didn't take me that long to get my luggage, thank God. And then I came through the doors to arrivals, and my mum and sister were there, and they were just like crying. And I was like, oh my God, hi. And then my friend Andrew came as well. He was like going back up home to Scotland or whatever, and he came to the airport to meet me. So that was really, really lovely that I got to see him, because we're quite close. So I've not seen him for a few years. And then, yeah, so just got my shit. He had like a bag of treats for me. There was like chocolate in there. There was prawn cocktail crisps. And I was like, I could kiss you right now. I was like, you know me so well. And then, yeah. And then I got in the car with my mom and my sister. Not 10 minutes into it, I was like asleep. I was absolutely flat out. And then I woke up and we were like 10 minutes from my dad's house. So the plan was, obviously, you know that I told my dad I was coming home in October. So I couldn't post anything on social media, and I couldn't post when I had my party or anything like that. Do you remember when I nearly blew it as well?
Yeah.
I nearly blew it, guys. I said, oh yeah, my flight on the 4th of September. He went, what? I went, oh wait, no, sorry, October, blah, blah, blah. Thank God he bought it. But yeah, so we drove straight up to my dad's house, and I just did the old knock on the door, open the door. He's me. So there is a video people have seen.
There is. It's so cute.
I know, but oh, it was, he wasn't happy with me. He was happy to see me, but he was like, you little bitch. But no, that was honestly like a moment that I've been waiting for. Like, that's it, isn't it? The reunions that you're waiting for, which is lovely. But yeah, so that was my flight home, which was very, very interesting.
Lovely.
But it's just strange, like being in the car, being on the motorway, like being on the other side of the road. Everything is so small.
Yeah. It was so strange. I also surprised someone when I came home. I surprised my grandparents, who they're very like prehistoric, so they don't really have technology, they don't have phones, they don't have anything like that. So I hadn't really spoken to them at all during the whole 2 years in America. I'd, you know, sent them a couple postcards. I spoke to them a couple times on the phone when my mum was there, but they have rubbish signal at their house. So I hadn't really spoken to them. And so they had no idea when I was coming home. I told my mum to keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. And my mum does their like food shop for them every Thursday. So the day I arrived back was the day before Thursday, Wednesday. So I went with her, and my mum was like, hi, it's only me. And then I was like, and me, and like,
it's me.
They were like, oh my god, they were so happy. Like, my nan cried. It was like, it was so nice. It was so nice to see them again, give them big hugs.
It's nice, isn't it, when you can do that? Like, you feel so horrible for lying to people, but it's just nice. I love surprising people. It's my favorite thing. I really love it. And it's nice when you see their reaction after all that time. I'm glad you got to see them.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice. So we're back in the UK.
Oh gosh.
And oh my god, so much has happened. I just worked out, I've been back for 8 months now. Like, just over 8 months. So it's, time flies. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I think I've been back maybe nearly 7 months.
Yeah. God. So we both have jobs now. As you guys know, if you've been here for a while, we did tell you guys about our jobs that we got before, for when we came home. So we announced them. Both got our jobs when we were in the US, ready for when we came home.
Yes, remind our lovely listeners what we actually do, Steph, because they probably like, what the fuck? I don't remember.
So I actually work in applications for Au Pair in America, which is not the agency I came to the US with.
But traitor!
A different Au Pair agency that are based in London. So I work for them. And what do you do, T?
I work for a small group of colleges doing, I started as a student recruitment officer. I'm actually now the line manager for the team. So I'm the group student recruitment coordinator. That Woo! Is me. We should totally do an episode, Steph, about our jobs, because I'd love to know what it's like to be on the other side of the au pair table with you.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So we're big girls with big girl jobs.
We are. We're adulting. So yeah, we both work full time. Mm-hmm. Monday to Friday, proper adults here.
Woo!
And I love my job. Yeah, I've been there for 7 months now. Have I? Yeah. August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, well, actually, yesterday was my 8 month. So there you go.
Happy anniversary.
Hey. So I basically started my job like a week after I arrived back in the UK. So straight up to London. I stayed in a hostel in London for the month of August when I first started the job, because I hadn't found anywhere to live yet. But I was in talks with two girls. We were looking for a flat together. So I was in London the month of August in a hostel, going into the office every day, learning my role, meeting everyone. And during that month, I secured a flat in Southwest London with two friends. And that is where I live now. I live in a 3-bed flat with two friends. And I've been doing my job and it's great. And I can't believe it sometimes. Sometimes I think about the fact that I'm now living in London and I've been in America for 2 years and it's mad to me. It just seems so long ago.
Do you feel slightly like, I don't know like if it's the right term, but kind of like imposter syndrome? Because it kind of feels like, on one hand, it feels like America didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just feels like it wasn't real.
But it was such a massive part of our life.
Yeah, like I have a wire board up on my wall in my room that has like the keychains that I've collected from everywhere I visited, and pictures of my time in America, and I'm like, it did happen, but it just doesn't feel like it. Memories are now coming up. It's like a year ago you did this, and I'm like, holy crap, has it been that long? It's crazy. So yeah, I just have been plodding along, adulting as you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's my life. Just living in London. It's been great living in London. I mean, living in the capital of the UK is
awesome.
Is great. Yeah. I am actually coming up to the end of my lease in my flat. I'm going to go back and live with my mum for a few months, just save some money. Because I mean, I came back to the UK with nothing and I went straight into like living in my own flat, this new job.
In London.
It's expensive. And so I didn't really have time to kind of build myself back up again, mm-hmm. which was the original plan. It's just everything kind of happened a different way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and like go back, build myself up again, and then like start fresh. Obviously still keeping my job, but just kind of building my life back up again a little bit more. Because yeah, it was all kind of very quick when I came back, happened all so fast.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But I mean, I spent my first week when I was back home with my mum. I went to Wetherspoons.
Oh my god, I ate so much in my first week home.
Yeah, I had a full English breakfast, a roast dinner, I went to Harvester, I went to like, everywhere god. That I'd missed.
I was like, Tesco meal deal.
Oh my god, Palmer's. Yeah.
I was like, I want a Chinese from here, not from bloody America, because it's better over here. Oh my god, I just wanted every bad food that I was denied in America. But now I have a hankering for Chick-fil-A. So badly.
I miss Chick-fil-A.
I brought the sauce back with me. Mm.
Yeah, me too.
So good.
I miss Chick-fil-A so much. It actually hurts my soul.
I know. I can't wait to eat it.
And
like
Panda Express.
I just need cowfish in my life.
Oh, but yeah. So what about you, T? Go on, talk us about your adult life.
I don't even know. Like, so I flew back. I think I landed September 5th. I didn't start my job till October 3rd. Happy Mean Girls Day, everyone. Meant to be. Because there was just like delays with paperwork or something like that with my job. But to be fair, it was kind of nice to kind of have like a month to just kind of get my shit back together.
Yeah.
There was a lot of reverse culture shock, reverse homesickness, which I know we're going to do an episode about, so I won't really go into, but that the effects of that are still happening now. But I mean, like I say, like we'll detail that in our other episode. But yeah, like adjusting back was weird because I remember we talked about this before we left. It was like we're going home to where we're already familiar, but people will have moved on in 2 years, and it's trying to find where we fit in the where do we fit anymore? Like because we changed in 2 years, so that was I found that really hard for the first month, like figuring out who in the most cliche way, like who I was now and where I was fitting in and just kind of adjusting a life. But yeah, I found like I started noticing really small things. Like I started noticing more about my surroundings, like the size of it, the feel of it, the environment. I don't know, like just weird quirks that wouldn't happen in America and stuff. And I don't know. And I came back and everybody was like, you sound so American. You look American, because I had like a nice little tan. And even my mannerisms were American. I've picked up a few mannerisms that I still haven't gotten rid of,
which is
fine.
Me too, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God. But yeah, but you know, my job was like, I'm very, very, very lucky to have the job that I have because I love my team, got a great manager, you know, and I'm very grateful to be in the job that I'm in because I enjoy it so much. Like, I think it's a terrible thing to say, but you're lucky if you have a job that you like.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? But no, I'm happy to be back. And, you know, it's good because you know how we both said, like, as much as we'd want to go and do something again, it's time for us to start our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like we've got the best of both worlds because we are starting our lives, but we also have that connection to America. So, like, we can go back and visit people. We can go back and see our host family if we want to. So that's what I feel like. And I'll forever just be grateful to the people that I met, especially you along the way. Like, oh my goodness, trying not to cry, but oh my God, yes.
Yeah,
so in terms of adjusting, I have, I don't know how to say it. Hey, like, I've adjusted to being back in the UK, but it's not like I went back to who I was before. I've adjusted as a new person. And, you know, I've met new people and stuff like that. And it's good. Oh my God, we haven't even talked about the biggest thing that's happened to both of us.
I was going to say, yeah.
God,
a massive update that we
have. Massive update. You can go first.
Well, we both have boyfriends.
We're both dating, which is really nice.
We're both dating someone, yeah. God.
You want to talk about your boy?
Oh my God. Jeez. Well, I met my
boyfriend.
It's still so weird to say.
It's a weird saying boyfriend, isn't it? I feel like we're 12. We're all giggly.
In November, so yeah, a few months after I came back.
Oh, mine in November.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much the same weekend because it's the 19th of November for me.
Shut up, mine is also the 19th.
Shut up! Yes! Sorry. That's just a revelation we've just made.
Oh my gosh!
So it's been 4 months for us both then. And yeah, we're both so happy, aren't we? Like,
they're just lovely. What's yours called? Do you want to tell everyone what yours is called? You want to keep it a secret?
Mine is called Alec. And yours is?
Jordan.
And we both met them organically, like not on an app.
Yes, which is exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, I met mine in a pub.
Oh.
Classic Brit, you know what I mean?
If that's not where you're going to meet someone, then you're not going to meet anybody anywhere.
Literally, it was a Wetherspoons as well, so it's absolutely iconic.
You were so British.
Iconic, yeah.
Beautiful.
It was, I mean, the night that we met was quite the adventure, but we've seen each other every weekend by, like, two since then. Cause he lives in North London, which is, yeah. And, it's just, yeah.
It's lovely.
It's great. We do so much together. Me and him are actually going to Bath together next weekend, which is in South West London. No, Southwest UK, sorry.
I was going to say, because I used to live near Bath, so don't say that we're anywhere near London.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant England, Southwest England, by Bristol kind of area. It's a really lovely town. So we're going to go there for a night.
A night?
Yeah. Oi, it was our first little trip away together. So
romantic.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Oh, bless you. That's lovely.
And how did you meet your boo?
So, people that know me personally know that I volunteer for an event that we're a company that do Comic Cons and stuff. So I was in London to do work at the Comic Con. And it was the Saturday of the event. Well, I saw him on, there's a whole story that I won't go into, but I saw him on the Friday and I kind of eyed him up a little bit, but I thought, you know what, he looks really moody. But long story short, I was working on the front door on the Saturday, and he works for a company that is security for events. They get hired to go to events and stuff. And me and him, like, and the rest of us, we had a little bit of banter, but Jordan just kept kind of like bullying me throughout the day, like kicking the metal barrier if I leaned on it. So it was a little bit of flirty banter all the time, but I didn't really click it until like halfway through the day. I thought, oh, okay. And then, yeah, we had a whole day and blah, blah, blah. And we, you know, exchanged Instagrams at the end of the day. And then we have been texting, FaceTiming ever since. And then when I was back down in London in March, we went on a day date in London, which is lovely. And we're going to see Benson Boone together. And then I'm seeing him the next day with you, Sammy. I'm so excited. I just went down to his for the weekend for his birthday. But yeah, like we're happy.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how like we are completely different people since we left the US and now like things are just happening and it's
it feels like life is like coming together.
Yes, like we've got jobs, we don't live with our parents anymore, we are more confident in ourselves, we've got partners, we're moving up in the world. Hopefully this isn't just like a fluke. things are going well, I think, and I'm all about positive manifestation and putting things into the universe. And as cheesy as that is, it's so true, because what did I say to you, Steph? I want to meet someone organically, and I want it to happen when I'm not expecting it, and boom,
and
there
he
is.
Happened. So I came back, I was on the apps for a little bit, but then I was like, you know what, I'm done with the apps, and I deleted them the day after I deleted them, and I was like, I'm done, I met Alec. I was like, it was meant to be. And
the universe is talking to us.
Exactly. And we just get on so well. We're like the same person.
And me and Jordan really are just fucking idiots. We're just absolute idiots.
I mean, so we bully each other. You know, it's classic, you know. It's
classic British banter. Yeah. I feel like Americans don't really get that. Because I was telling one of my US friends, like, what do you mean you bully each other? And I'm like, that is how British people communicate and flirt, honey.
They don't get it. They don't get it. But it's going really well. And, but I think another thing is we've made an effort to see each other more since being in the UK as well. We've seen each other. I went down with Au Pair in America. We went to a job fair, a careers fair at Tees College.
At my college? That was the weirdest thing, having those two worlds collide.
Yeah, so we met in professional capacity, and I was there promoting Au Pair in America, and she was there doing her student recruitment, being a boss lady.
Being a boss. And I took her for dinner, and she had her first parmo ever.
Yeah, which is basically chicken with cheese on top.
No, you shut up. It is not. It is like a chicken. It's like a breaded chicken fillet, a big one with bechamel sauce, melted cheese. You have to have garlic sauce with it. You loved it.
It was delicious.
It's unreal.
We're going to a concert together this month, at the end of the month, in Manchester.
We're meeting Benson Boone!
We met up in London, like, just after you came back, when you came down for the Comic-Con. We met up then, and you're coming back down to London in May before you fly to America. We're going to hang out. So we're making, like, more of an effort to see each other, which is nice as well.
Yeah, it is lovely. But, yeah, so we're adjusting. We're finding our new normal. In terms of future plans, I am just... In terms of work, I'm just continuing being me, enjoying my job. I'm actually hiring people next week. Thank God. I'm so short-staffed. And, you know, in terms of plans, it's like, well, my host family actually asked me to come back. And they said, hey, if we pay for your plane ticket, will you come back? And I was like, fuck yeah. I'd come back anyway. So I'm flying back the 21st of May for a couple of weeks, which is going to be just the best. It's the week after my birthday, so it's like an extended birthday treat. But I'm very, very grateful to them to even, not that they wouldn't want me back, but the fact that they're like, please come back. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming back. I miss you.
Yeah.
So that'll be like, I'm just going to eat Chick-fil-A if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And go to Target.
I am jealous, honestly. Oh my God, Target.
I'll bring you some Chick-fil-A sauce back, babe.
Please.
I will.
And I might be going back. I've been talking to my first host family who live in DC. About going back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, probably not this year. Because
flights
finances
are expensive.
Yeah. But maybe like early next year. Because I miss DC so much. Oh my God, it's my favourite place in the world. So I really want to go back there. I like to go back. Because I work for Open America, we have a conference in America every 2 years. So I'll be back in 2024 anyway.
Amazing. That's
don't
exciting.
Yeah,
perks.
I don't know where in America yet, but.
Oh my gosh, I hope it's like New York or something.
It was New Jersey last time, Stanford.
It probably will be, though, because like cultural care are there too, aren't they? So maybe.
It was Princeton. New Jersey, but it varies, goes everywhere, so it could be anywhere.
Maybe you'll be in Boston at Cultural Care headquarters and you'll go head to head and fight each other.
No, I don't know it's gonna happen, to be honest with you.
I think
sorry
it's gonna
that.
Happen. It'd be funny, I'd pay to see that.
But that is part of my work. I get to travel. I'm going to Germany next month for a conference.
Exciting! And then she's seeing Harry Styles.
And I'm seeing Harry Styles next month as well. I'm seeing Harry Styles in June as well.
Yeah.
Good times.
So those are some of our future plans. But in terms of the podcast, we're going to be doing an episode on like reverse culture shock, reverse homesickness. We're going to be talking about interviewing our potential replacements. We're going to be reflecting on our au pair terms, like our top moments, like what did we take from it? You know, you know what we're like. We're all about the good, the bad, and the super ugly over here.
Super ugly. We don't have a specific schedule. It literally just depends on when we have time to sit down and record. But we will try our best to not be months and months and months.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think now we're back into the swing of it and we genuinely do enjoy it. We'll get that feeling again. So,
yeah.
And, you know, Steph and I are going to be together in a few weeks' time anyway. Woo-hoo! So we'll probably squeeze in an episode then if we haven't already done one.
Yeah, exactly. But as always, if you have any questions or anything, you can slide into our DMs because we will be checking them now.
I know, we haven't really chatted for a while.
So yeah, anything you want to chat to us about, never hesitate to message us. We will always be there for you. And yeah, we really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Oh, we nearly forgot.
What?
If you listen to the end of this episode, the emoji today is a turtle.
A turtle. Comment on the Instagram post for this episode, a turtle emoji, if you listen to the end. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll speak to you again soon, guys.
Bye, bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Au Pair Tea, The Afterlife. We hope you enjoyed it.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Au Pair Tea to stay up to date.